The hour we lost this weekend was the hour I was going to go back to the gym.
Yeah, all you did was switch your red wine to white. Mm.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We are streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, and you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. I am Tom, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my fellow co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
Javier J. Bear.
He's so awkward when he does that. And welcome you all to The Dish.
Why can't I hear myself?
Wow, you're always... Should I bring your mic up a little bit?
I don't know. Okay. You just like do things and then I don't know what's going on.
So can you hear yourself much better?
Yeah.
Okay. See, so that works. So anyway, so we are back another week. So much has happened over this weekend. It was a very musical weekend. The Grammys were last night. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to say about that, but we're going to be talking about some other stuff. This episode obviously is all about The Dish.
Again, my fault.
She's not booking guests, so we keep doing it.
I see the emails coming through, though.
Yeah, I know. Those emails are coming through. You better get to work, girl. Mm. Hard at work.
Tomorrow.
So how is everyone? Why don't we start off with you, Trish? How are you?
I'm good. I had a crazy weird week last week and a semi-busy weekend. I finally booked my brother's bachelor party, so that's all set.
That's nice.
Yeah. We're taking him white water rafting.
Oh, don't die. I need you.
That's why we booked it like 2 weeks prior to the wedding in case somebody gets hurt.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then I had a couple, like a weird job offer that I accepted. So I'll be consulting for another theater locally. I don't necessarily know if I should say which one, so I'm not going to. But it was
eventually it all comes out.
Yeah, no. So Long Wharf Theater asked me to come back and consult for them. Weird.
That's amazing though. That's good though. That means that you know they valued the work that you did at some point before they gave you the axe, which is good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I know. It's weird to go back, but I'm excited to help them with the project, so that'll be fun. And then the Dorothy Awards were this weekend.
I know.
So that is the gala for the New Haven Pride Center, which I am on the board of, as we all know. So me and Tom got together, and we watched it and had a good time.
It was really good. And we'll talk more about that in a second because there was a lot of things that I really want to highlight and talk about. But how are you, Jay?
Fantastic. I'm getting close to
the mic. I see. Well, you're back in the seat.
Back in the seat this week. Non-eventful weekend, really. I just stood home, cleaned the yard a little, and... just
I tried doing that.
Relax.
And then, like yesterday, for whatever reason, we went through all four seasons in like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Summer, winter, spring.
Yes.
Like winter and fall. Like it started snowing.
It snowed. Yeah.
It was like raining and then it was snowing like within like 5 minutes. I was like, what's going on?
I was like, what happened?
Yeah. That canceled my event on the weekend. I mean, I was actually trying to dig out some, mint leaves that I planted in my front garden.
Of course you
unbeknownst
were.
To me, I didn't know that the damn thing would take over the whole garden, which it did last summer.
Mint?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very evasive, so you have to be careful.
Like Tom in a garden.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I take over everything.
I was going to say the dick dock, but...
The what?
Talking about the dick dock, no.
Well, that is actually something that could be completely possible. Yeah, I mean, there is no shame in my game.
We know.
Not at all.
We know.
So, I sort of kind of did the same thing. I was like, you know what? Let me go out there and get rid of all the dead stuff from last year because for whatever reason, it's March 15th and all of my freaking daylilies are starting to pop out.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Are you going to tell the whole story?
The whole story? What?
About you having to get up.
What happened?
when you couldn't get up after cleaning out the garden beds.
God.
See, I missed something good here.
Those are old things that you, those are things that happen to older people that you just don't talk about. But fine, since you mentioned that, I'll talk about it. So I started in the back area of the house and I went through and I planted probably about maybe 9 or 10 different sections with daylilies, like different colors, like purple and yellow, and they're very pretty. In the summertime, they just come up and they're gorgeous. And I'm sitting, I have my knee pads on. And I'm on my knees.
Like a good girl.
And
by herself.
By myself with my puppies out running in the yard.
First time.
I know, right?
First time for everything.
She's like, I didn't know knee pads were used for other things besides do-do-do.
Hello. and so I'm down on my knees and I went to try to get up and I couldn't. So I sort of kind of had to like roll for a couple of minutes to allow my legs to realize that they were no longer in the knelt position. And eventually I got up when I got halfway down the little hill.
So you ended up rolling down the hill?
I had to in order to get up.
He and needed the momentum to get him back up.
Pretty much. And so I was telling Trish and she was just dying. She was just like, I cannot.
But the conversation started because I have like this weird arthritis thing happening with my hand.
Right.
And it like hurts really bad. And every morning I wake up and I'm like, I literally, my thumb, I can't flex it or move it.
There's a pill for that.
Yeah, there's a pill for everything.
Seriously.
Anyway, so we were talking about that. He's like, honey, that's age. This weekend, let me tell you something. I had to roll down the hill after I was in the garden to get back up. I was like, wait, what? And is there any video evidence?
It happens to the best of us. And as you get older, certain things just don't function the way they're supposed to anymore. And they just sort of kind of get stuck, like my knees.
Yeah.
I mean, if I got stuck, like having oral sex, and that's one thing, but getting stuck
that
pulling
would be
weeds
so
out.
Awkward.
Right?
Honey, help me up.
Are you good? Because I got to get up now.
I gotta get up.
He's like,
I lost feeling on both my legs.
When he says to me, all right, turn around now. I'm like, can I roll around?
Do you ever sit on the toilet too long and your legs go numb?
Yes.
This is what I'm imagining, right? So Tom is literally giving somebody a blowjob. His legs went numb. He's like, did I do a good job? But you got to help me get up.
like I'm wearing your juice all over my face, but now you have to help me up.
I'm not going to help you up.
Because, you know, I don't know. So I have always like suffered from really bad, like, what do they call that? Sciatica and spasms in my back. And I remember 1 year I was having them over and over and over again, like back to back, to the point where I was out of work for a long time. And I remember 1 year I went to get up from my bed after I woke up and I couldn't move, I couldn't breathe. And so literally I rolled myself into the floor. I dropped myself from the bed and then I had to turn my body somehow and then start literally pulling my way into the living room area. And did I call you? No,
yeah,
I was
in
my underwear.
You called me.
I was in my meanties.
I've heard this story. Yeah.
And so,
he called me, but tried to roll his way to the door to unlock it. So when I got there, I could get in.
So he can get in. And at the time, my roommate was my best friend, Jackie. And then her boyfriend at the time, now husband, was coming up. And all of a sudden, I've got this husky bear and her future husband, like, lifting me and trying to dress me to bring me to the emergency room to find out why I can't move my fucking body.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
It was insane.
Did I ever tell you the story of the time that I fell asleep in a bathroom and woke up and all my limbs were numb?
Oh my God.
That sounds like a nightmare. Like you're in the middle of a nightmare.
It was so scary.
Do I have that on video?
No, I wasn't. I was maybe 24.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Mass in like an apartment building with like 5 other people.
Right.
Because I was working in theater. And one night we had gone out, we had a couple drinks, but no one got too lit or anything. You know, I went home, I went to bed. But sometimes when
you got roofied.
I don't know. No. So I was really stressed. I had a lot going on. And sometimes when I'm really stressed, I sleepwalk.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. So anyway, so I must have woke up in the middle of the night and sleepwalk into the bathroom. Maybe I had to use the bathroom or whatnot, but I fell asleep on the floor.
She went down with the ship.
And I woke up on the floor of the bathroom, lights off, door closed. And I don't know what position I was laying in on the floor, but both arms were numb.
She was probably contorted and didn't even like realize it.
But I couldn't get up. I had no idea where I was. I was freaking out. I literally just looked like, I looked like a penguin flat on its stomach trying to flip around and figure out how to stand up. And I was just freaking the fuck out. And come to find out, I had just fallen asleep on the freaking bathroom floor. And imagine laying flat on your stomach, not being able to lift yourself up, and you don't know where you are and it's dark. Like, I was flipping out.
And if any of you know Nick, like I know Nick, flipping out is flipping out.
Yeah, I felt bad for my roommates that night.
Yeah, I know. So, interesting. But anyway, yes, that happened. Knees locked, couldn't get up, rolled down, finally got up. But at least the backside of my what do you call
backside?
That? The backside of my house where all of my, what the beds are, those are all clean now. And now I just got to do the front. Mm-hmm. And that one has a little wall, so I can actually sit on the wall and pull things out. Although that's probably difficult to maneuver to get up at some point. So.
I do want to give a quick shout out to Mama Kim's son, Sean. It was his 21st birthday yesterday.
Oh, he's finally happy legal.
Birthday. I know. Happy birthday. We love Mama Kim. We love all of you. And happy birthday, Sean. So
have a shot of tequila. And
like your mama does now.
And
oh, was I not supposed to say that on air?
and have a drink and enjoy. It's
enjoy responsibly.
It's all downhill from here.
We gotta be adultish. Somehow.
Oh my god, that's awesome! That's awesome, and he's such an amazing young man, and really good to his mom. And his mom is just an amazing LGBTQ mother, and so we appreciate her.
Yeah,
that's awesome. All right, well, we've got a couple of things to discuss. First and foremost, let's go back to the Dorothy Awards. Do you know what the Dorothy Awards are?
Yes, been there, have attended.
Right.
Great organizations. I love them.
So the Dorothy Awards are, like you said, it's basically the gala for the New Haven Pride Center. They usually recognize individuals in our community that are doing amazing things so that they are recognized for the work that they do. Sometimes, a lot of people don't realize that some of this work is pro bono. Right, you don't get paid to be an activist in most cases, and so you had four amazing, beautiful Black women that were doing great things with Black Lives Matter. We had a doctor that was recognized for his work with HIV in our community, and amongst others, it was just an incredible event. I think that the programming was fantastic. You had a lot of performers. And the fun thing is that most of these events were happening all over the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So you had performances coming to you from the Shea Club, the Shea-est club in Hartford, while they were filming most of the other components of it in New Haven. And it was all live. And then you have people clipping in from home and accepting their awards. And then one of the funniest moments were when they were teeing up one of the recipients, and Kiki Lucia, who was hosting, was like, oh my god, where's her award? And come to find out, the recipient came to pick up the awards a couple of days before. Mm-hmm. So she was panicking because she didn't see the award.
Well, so it wasn't Kiki.
I already have it.
No, it wasn't Kiki. It was one of the employees of the Pride Center who was there helping Kiki with the, bringing their awards and all that stuff. Right. And she's running around. She's like, I can't find it anywhere. Where is it? I can't find the award. And Kiki's like, oh, I forgot to tell you.
She already got it.
They already picked it up.
And they were amazing. Overall, the event was fantastic. I can say that they had a silent auction, which was filled with a lot of great things. And you ended up bidding on a Harvey Milk. Mm-hmm. Bottle of vodka. It's like a special limited
edition.
Limited edition Harvey Milk
Stoli vodka bottle. Yeah.
Vodka bottle.
Yeah. I've always wanted one.
Did you win?
I'm winning currently.
Oh. Okay.
Still going.
The auction hasn't closed. I haven't increased my bid. So I did lose one of my bids on, there was this like rock wall climbing introduction experience that I was like, oh, that maybe that'll get me into the gym again. Then somebody bit on it. And I was like, I'm not going that high.
I'm like, girl, you climb rocks?
No, but I think it would be fun.
Well, go to it.
Oh, no, no. I've done that before. It scared the shit out of me. I got to the top level and my legs were just shaking. I was like, what is the quickest way to get to the thing that gets me the fuck down, like, as quick as possible? And I, like, ran through the thing. And Pat is just, like, my roommate. He's just running around, like, having a ball. I'm like, get me out of this fucking thing. I'm just shaking.
Oh. But overall, hey. it was a great experience to watch. Nick came over. We watched it here together. They had a pre-party at 5:30, a couple of musical artists. That woman that was singing.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have her on.
On the show. We're like, we need to, like, set her up in a little corner over here, make it very pretty, and have her do, like, a live performance on Gay Talk, because that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she sang one of my favorite Melissa Etheridge songs. So,
yeah.
So congratulations to the New Haven Pride Center. Thank you for doing what you do for the community and for the amazing programming that you had during your gala. It was just absolutely incredible. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm just going to give a shout out to all the honorees real quick. So Hamed Abajadeh, I know I'm saying that wrong, and I'm sorry. He is an international queer Muslim advocate and organizer. Mm-hmm. And then we also had Dr. Gary Blick, who is a pioneer in HIV and AIDS. He's a clinician and a humanitarian working for Healthcare Advocates International. And then we also honored Representative Raven Mathern, Connecticut's first elected trans lawmaker and advocate for trans athletes. And then we had, of course, the four women for founders of Black Lives Matter New Haven. And then we had Janice Kajayas, LGBT plus youth organizer and queer trans black indigenous people of color advocate.
Let me check that last name.
Cajigas.
They are all really doing amazing work in the greater New Haven area and beyond. So it was wonderful for me to the 18th annual Dorothy Awards and my first time really being involved with the Pride Center as deeply as I am now. So it was pretty exciting. And thank you again for hosting our watch party, you and me, because we have to socially distance. So it was just the two of us. But it was a good time.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. I enjoy anything, you know, that the Pride Center does. Again, Patrick Dunn, who is the executive director of the Pride Center, ever since he took over that Pride Center, it has been running at 1,000 miles an hour nonstop. And even amidst COVID.
Yeah, I can't even describe to you the heights in which Patrick has taken the Pride Center. I mean, we all know where it was, which was, you know, functioning and trying to really serve the community. And Patrick has taken it in three, four years,
right,
to not only a functioning organization, but one that's truly serving the entire state of Connecticut and beyond,
right,
and increasing funding and the budget for the entire state and staff. And for a lot of nonprofits in Connecticut and in the world right now, I mean, a lot of nonprofits lost people, lost, you know, jobs, lost money, lost funding. And the New Haven Pride Center, I am so proud to say, has not lost one staff member.
They increased.
And did so well this year that they increased staff members with grants and other funding, but also was able to give everybody a little bit of a bump, which is so rare for a nonprofit, especially during COVID. So I mean, he's amazing.
He literally did say that COVID was the best thing that ever happened to the Pride Center. That's exactly how he worded it in the programming. And he was like, you know, and he doesn't mean that as in, like, COVID is a welcome thing. He just says that as a result of COVID, you know, because of people's resolve to make sure that Pride centers all over have the funding they need for the programming that is so critical for people who are stuck at home, that he was able, along with his staff, to really just break out in a way that was just incredible.
Yeah.
And so, claps for them. Yep. Thank you so much for doing the work that you do, and continue to do that, because I think it's just going to be that just amazing. Sorry about that. What else? We sprung forward.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we have more daylight. I'm excited. DST is, like, my favorite season.
I don't know if it's just me, but, like, whenever we change the time, especially going forward,
right.
my clock is so fucked up.
Right.
Like, I could not sleep last night. I even took a nap to try to, like, alleviate the whole, like...
jet lag of it.
Yeah.
That's what because it feels like.
Yeah. And then like, on Sunday, I woke up, and I'm like, oh, it's you know, I woke up whenever it was 9, but it was technically 8.
Right.
Right? And so I start my day, and I'm like, oh, it's 12 o'clock, but it's technically 11. And, like, my brain is just, like...
Right. Well, let the clock guide you. That's all I can say, right? So if you see that it says it's 11 p.m., it's 11 p.m. Don't try to add math to it and say, well, I'm going to take an hour away and technically it's...
Well, I'm just, like, always trying to figure out, like, am I tired because I lost... Like, where am I... Why... Like, what is going on in my day? You know what I mean?
So always remember that when you spring forward...
But then again,
forward,
that's me every day.
Hour. When you fall back, you gain an hour, right?
Well, I think for us, or for me... Or being from the island of Puerto Rico, we just caught up to their timeline.
Right, because we never change.
Yeah, we never change.
Puerto Rico never observes daylight savings.
Yeah.
They're the same time all the time.
So now we're at the same time zone.
Right.
So when I talk to people, I give them the right hour.
So I'll confess something to you. For years, I never knew that Puerto Rico was on a different time zone. Yeah. Or at least that.
A different time zone? Or they didn't observe?
They're always we don't observe it. So, for instance, New Year's Eve in Puerto Rico is at 11 p.m.
Our time.
And then we celebrate New Year's Eve an hour later.
So technically, they're an hour behind until we jump ahead?
No, we're an hour.
Correct. You're right. So
now we're on the same timeline.
They never change time. So when we fall back an hour,
they're in a different time zone.
They're ahead of us.
Okay.
An hour.
Okay.
But in the summertime, we have the same time.
Hmm.
And so for years, I would always wonder why every time I called my mom at midnight, our time on New Year's Eve, she was sleeping. And she was like, and then one day it just hit me and I'm like, Ma, what time is it? She goes, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, it's 12 here. What do you mean it's 1 o'clock there? And that's when I realized that the time changes for years. And I'm talking 20 years. I called this woman to wish her happy New Year's. And I never knew that they were ahead.
2 hours late in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Seriously. And, but yeah, you know, and then the phone lines. I remember at one point in time before we had cell phones and stuff, if you tried calling exactly at midnight our time, it's like, ding, ding, ding. Ha recibido una mensaje de la telefónica. La persona que usted está tratando de llamar no está disponible. Por favor, marque de nuevo. Oh, my God. It used to piss me the fuck off. I'm like, tee, tee, tee. I cannot. But yeah, that happened. So I love this time of year because I prefer more time, more daylight on my end of my day.
It keeps me up later, which I am going to appreciate because literally COVID has made me go to bed so much earlier.
Yeah.
Because I've got nothing going on, right? So I go to bed earlier, and then I've been up at like 7 a.m. every day. Even on the weekends, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me?
We got breaking news.
Yes.
What?
So Deb Holland is confirmed.
Wait, hit the button.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Hit the button.
We've got breaking news. Deb Holland is confirmed as Biden's Interior Secretary, a historic move making her the first Native American Cabinet Secretary.
What does that mean, Interior Secretary? Like, does she do the design? Or?
No. I cannot with her. I mean, that's a valid question, but I cannot with you. No, the Interior Secretary, I believe, has to do with... With like landmarks and parks and I don't know. Can someone Google it?
The Department of the Interior are responsible for the management and conservation of most federal land and natural
parks
resources.
And and her being a Native American really like so
put the Native American back in charge of the land.
Right.
That we took from them.
That's
And it's just incredible. And so that is a milestone, another milestone yet for the Biden administration, right? We already have Pete Buttigieg, first out secretary of a cabinet or openly gay, whichever one you prefer. You know, we had a conversation about that last week. Go listen to it. And it's just historic on many levels. On many levels. So congratulations to her, and we will move on. what else have we got here? What else are we talking about?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're almost at 6:30.
We don't have a guest, so we can go to 30 minutes. No, but I can't find my list. What happened to it?
I don't know.
It was there. It literally said, we're talking about XYZ. Are you removing stuff as I'm talking about it?
No.
Where did it go? So we did Daylight Savings Times. We did the Daylight Savings Time. Yeah. We did the Dorothy Awards. The Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
I didn't watch, so I can't really speak to it.
I couldn't watch. Same. Evidently, I don't have the channel that the Grammys were airing on, so I had to catch a lot of like recaps on the other end. Beyonce, Queen B, she literally won her 24th Grammy, making her the artist with the most won Grammys in history.
That is amazing.
It's incredible. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, she's always getting snubbed for, like, Album of the Year. Like, you remember when Adele won Album of the Year?
And she broke it in half, right?
No. She came out with 25, and she was up for the Album of the Year along with Beyonce for Lemonade. And she literally went up there and said, Beyonce, your album Lemonade, like, seriously was the shit. And it should have been you and not me. But thank you for creating Lemonade. It changed my life. It was, I fucking love that girl.
No, she did break her Grammy in half.
Who? Adele?
Yeah, didn't she? And she gave half of it to...
I don't know. No. And then that one time that Kanye went on stage and like snubbed and moved, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Swift aside and said Beyonce had the best album of the year and blah, blah, blah. And then, so the weird thing is that Taylor
Swift. Adele broke off the top of her Grammy to reportedly give it to Beyonce, according to People magazine.
Well, go ahead, People. That's nice. Taylor Swift won Album of the Year, but another artist won Record of the Year, which makes no sense if you record, album, tomato, tomato. Some snubbed artists were The Weeknd, who recently actually did the Super Bowl halftime show. And people are losing their mind because, you know, he didn't win anything. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, he's going up against Beyonce.
You're not wrong.
And, you know, then, of course, there's Taylor Swift. That woman wins everything. And but other than that, really, that's all I have as far as the Grammys go, because, like I said, I couldn't watch the event. But I will tell you this. The event was live and it was in person. And the venue that they chose, it was just artist only. They were all social distanced and there was no audience. So it was incredible.
Yeah.
First time ever that they did that, and haven't gone to an actual live Grammy performance.
Oh, that's right.
It's the energy in the room when you go to these things. I went in 2010, I believe, or wait, 2011. I think it was a year before Whitney died. I went to the Grammys, and the energy in that place and walking through like the red carpet and how they usher you through all these like little nuances to get you to where you're supposed to be seating and watching all of these performances live, it's pretty incredible. And so I know that the production value from it, the behind the scenes audio and all that stuff, and having this component of virtual along with a live audience that was social distance, or the artist at least, it's pretty cool. What's her name? I love her. She's very energetic and eclectic.
Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish. She was looking a little freaky last night, but she performed, I believe, and it's my understanding that her performance gathered really good reviews. Yeah, that's it.
Also, I think how many awards did Beyonce has she won?
24.
28.
28. Oh shit, let's add four more. Mm-hmm. 28 Grammys.
Damn.
So, yeah. I mean, she's talented. The girl can sing her ass off, dance her ass off, and, you know, win those Grammys.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Most Grammys.
And I haven't even gotten one.
Girl, what would your Grammy be for? Let me ask. Screeching?
I don't know.
And if you want the Grammy,
going off on crazy shit?
Right.
Soapboxing?
Right. And if your Grammy was won, would it be under Trish or Nick?
It would be Nick.
Okay.
So actually, Billie Eilish won Record of the Year.
That's what, but so Billie Eilish won Record of the Year.
Yep.
But what's her name?
Album of the Year, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
With Winner.
Right. So how do you, like, how could record of the year and
I think record might mean like track, like song.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Billie Eilish is awesome.
I'm thinking album, you're talking, you know, 16 right. songs or whatever the artist put out.
Right. And I'm so over Taylor Swift at this point. It's like,
are you going to try to cancel her?
No. 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 No need to cancel her. She can continue to do her music. It's just, you know, I'm just over
Every
her.
Time she dates a new guy, they say, there goes her new album.
That's right.
Oh, my God. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So if you want a Grammy,
yeah, Jay, date her.
What would be what would your Grammy be for?
My Grammy for being this awesome. No, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm one of those what do you call it?
Silent musicians.
Far from silent.
And his Grammy would be for making it happen from behind the scenes. But behind is the key word.
Right.
That sounds good, yeah.
What would my Grammy be? I'd probably get a Grammy for best intern.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Right. For sound recording, best intern, producing. I could see it.
Okay.
One of these days, eventually they'll land podcasting as part of the audio medium that will allow the Academy of Arts and Sciences to recognize.
We still haven't even gotten nominated for the fucking podcast award. So
like, seriously, like, who goes to those things anyway? Like, are we going to dress up?
No, I mean, I would like, if it was in person. Yeah.
Right. Well, there are shows like they do conventions, podcasting conventions, like Philly yeah. has one, mm-hmm. Orlando has one.
No, but I'm talking about the People's Podcast Awards.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I know. The one that every time he sends me, oh, can you go and like sign up for this? And then every year I forget.
Mm-hmm.
He would do it, but he doesn't want to pay the $25.
No, I'll pay the $25. I just need the information.
Oh, you need the our download link.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to create a file for you and I'll just leave it there with all the information.
So, okay.
It works. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much gone through everything that we needed to mm-hmm. on the first half of the show.
And I got a piddle.
And he's got a piddle. Yeah. We've been peeing like fucking racehorses. But we're going to take a break. We'll leave you with some music. When we come back, we have more stories, more dish. Jay is still here in studio with us and we're excited. So here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. Knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in the past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land. meet you at the station where we can get on that train. Head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same.
Right, we are back from the break. That was, of course, the amazing Amanda Barrick with the title track to her album, Wastelands. It is available on iTunes and all the major music streaming services. Make sure that you go check it out because I'm sure you're going to love her. She's amazing. And we're back. We're back with more Dish. We're back with my friends. We've got Nick on one side. We've got Jay Bear on the other.
Hi, Nick. The intern in the middle.
And the intern in the middle, of course. Are we recording?
I don't know.
Is this bitch recording? T.S. Madison. That's the trans woman that does the show. She's got a new show on one of the networks, and she is freaking crazy. I fucking love her. Anyway, so we're back. We've got some stories, so I'm going to toss it over to Trish so that Why? You can kick it off, because I've done a lot of talking during the first half.
You always do a lot of talking.
I know, so that's why I'm giving you an opportunity to speak your piece.
All right, fine. So, we already did this last week, but I always talk about gay animals.
Of course.
I'm not specifically talking about gay animals right now, but I will be eventually. So there is an amazing organization called Out for Sustainability,
yes.
Which is a nonprofit organization. And hold on. I'm going to find, I thought I pulled it up, but I clearly did not pull it up. So hold on 1 second. I want to read you the mission.
The mission.
So their mission is Out Sustainability mobilizes the LGBTQ community for environmental and social action in pursuit of a fabulous planet.
Yes.
So the reason I bring it up is because Mama Kim had sent me an article about them and about gay animals, obviously, because that's all I talk about lately. And the title of it is Nature is So Gay.
Right.
So,
and here's a clear representation of nature being gay right here sitting to my right.
Correct. You're not wrong.
And in the center and on my left, it all works out.
Mm-hmm. No, but they have a lot of really amazing initiatives. They have initiatives for, you know, making pride more green. They have initiatives for just kind of like bringing information to the LGBTQ community and also mobilizing the community to help create a greener environment. But they have an article here, and so I'm going to just read this for everybody, okay? So although Darwin's theory of natural selection predicts that an evolutionary disadvantage for animals that fail to pass along their traits through reproduction with the opposite sex, the validity of this part of his theory has been questioned, with discoveries of homosexual behavior in more than 10% of prevailing species throughout the world. For example, studies of the Laysan albatross show that female-to-female pairing can increase fitness by taking advantage of the excess of females and shortage of males in population and provide superior care for their offspring. Moreover, same-sex pairing in many species actually alleviates the likelihood of divorce and curtails the pressure on the opposite sex by allowing members to exhibit more flexibility to form partnerships, which in turn strengthens social bonds and reduces competition.
Right.
Is what I always talk about when we go back to that TED Talk.
Right. Because it's funny that you bring that TED Talk back, because over and over again, it just rings in my head the fact that, like the TED Talk said, and like you always say on the show, you know, when you have someone in your life that's a member of the LGBT community, whether that's gay, bi, trans, you know, they're there for a reason, mm-hmm. right? And they exist for a reason. And that reason typically is to provide some sort of emotional
support
for the family members.
And binding of community.
Right. And I think it's a great concept, and I wholeheartedly believe in it. But it really pisses me off when people that even members of our own community just we shoot each other in the foot often, mm-hmm. right? Because we're always constantly attacking each other when we should really be unifying and showing the world that indeed we are people that are here to really unify and not divide, mm-hmm. and that we have a purpose, and our purpose is to exist, to have the right to exist, whether that's, you know, via a civil avenue or method, but biologically there's a reason why we're here, mm-hmm. and it is to establish some sort of stability emotionally in the unit. And people fail to realize that, and I think that we need to really work on our own unit, our own internal structure when it comes to members of the LGBTQ plus community. We really need to work with each other and really work on understanding our differences, but knowing that we're fighting for each other, mm-hmm. Before we can turn around and say, okay, now I'm going to try to do this and be a support for my family. Mm-hmm. We're hemorrhaging internally in the LGBT community when it comes to supporting each other's goals. Because some people think, for example, you know, being gay is more popular, or
it's always the next fight, right? So, I agree with you, but I also think that it's like, okay, so now we are really focusing. I think the LGBTQ plus community is focusing on people of color in our community that right. have been, you know, pushed aside for far too long, and right. also trans individuals who are still fighting a fight that we, I mean, have experienced. Right. And I think that that's what segregates us, is the fact that each group within our community is continually pigeonholed, and each group has to fight. Right. We feel as though we need to fight individually, but when we fight together, we get more done, right?
But what I'm talking, or I guess the group that I'm talking to, is the gay cisgender white men who believe that. Well, not necessarily you, right? Because you're woke and you understand the issues of the community. You are one of the the executives right now on the board of the New Haven Pride.
Not an Center. Executive. I'm on the board. Yeah,
you're on the board. and so you understand that there are a lot of subgroups that need to be featured, and that we need to focus on their issues, because only when we do that we realize that we're a stronger community.
But I also understand. I also understand that we are one community, and I think that's where things get lost.
Right.
And I think the reason I always harp on gay animals or studies like this is because, For example, this article sort of ends with, thus not only do animals exhibit homosexuality, but the existence of the behavior is quite prevalent and may also confer certain evolutionary advantages, which means everybody always thought that we would be, you know, we would phase out. The gay gene would phase out, but that's actually not happening because if you look at the world, we have... I mean, and we talked about it last week. Jay brought it up.
Yeah,
you know, with the increase of identification, right? Mm-hmm. We are actually, we're more prevalent now, and people are more apt to come out and be, a voice of change. And I think that our community really, when a community or a nation or a family, when they're put down, you're going to see a lot more empathetic energy from the LGBTQ plus community. So whether or not a heteronormative family is finally coming to terms with homosexuality because they have a gay son or a gay daughter or a transgender son or daughter, they're starting to realize that, like, we bring so much to the table,
right.
and we actually help support and bind a community and bind a family units.
Right.
And I think that that's what we're seeing also very prevalent in the animal kingdom, right? Even though we're a part of the animal kingdom, when you have these animals that are exhibiting these behaviors, it's not necessarily because they want to get their rocks off. I mean, I think dolphins maybe just want to get their rocks off.
I know.
We've had this conversation.
Yes.
But the reality is these units are making strides to help bring a community and bind a community together.
Right.
And we can't necessarily see that, but I personally think that that's our purpose, and that's why the gay gene, if you will, hasn't been wiped out, or we haven't evolved past it, because I think that it's so important and really provides...
I don't want to evolve past it.
No, me neither.
I want to be as queer as I can be.
No, me neither. But there have been so many studies that say we're going to evolve out of this. We're going to lose the gay gene because it's not necessary, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, why don't we lose it? Because we can care for those who aren't cared for.
Right.
Right? And we can adopt because we can't bear our own children.
Well, some of us can bring a sense of understanding emotionally that some people can't. Some of us, and I say that, and I I make sure that people understand some of us. But yeah, I mean, we're there in a sense. Any gay person that I've ever met has always been someone who's been very empathetic of other people.
Yeah, LGBTQ to me equals glue to any family or community.
Right.
If we can stick together as a community, we are this.
Sky's the limit.
We're like the gorilla glue. Like, you put us in the mix and we're going to make shit bind and work.
Right. As long as, you know, and I want to emphasize.
What are you laughing at, Jay? He's over there like giggling. He's like
gorilla because glue. The gorilla glue. And end up having plastic surgery to get it fixed.
I mean, like Botox is important
and then
too.
Open up a GoFundMe and make like thousands of dollars and then go buy yourself a Mercedes-Benz or whatever it was that she bought herself. No, but I just want to make sure that people understand that we have problems in our community. And while we tend to be those that are supportive and provide an emotional balance in the family nucleus, we have problems in our community.
Oh, 100%.
And one of those problems is the fact that we can't unify behind one problem without thinking about how this impacts me. And again, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand that a large part of gay people, just gay men, think, and especially this is very prevalent in white cisgender males, they think that it's not my problem. The transgender community going through what they're going is not my problem.
So
I don't understand non-binary. That's not my problem.
I agree with you 100%, but I think that I'm gonna flip this on both of you, and right. Because I'm a white male, I can't talk about it. But I'm flipping it because I think that you're right. There are systemic issues in our community, but there are systemic issues in every race and every community.
Yes.
When you think about the fact that even in the Latino community, depending on the color of your skin, how dark you are, or how you speak, or how light you are treated differently. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. We are treated differently, and there's a lot of systemic racism within even the Latino community. I mean, you know, oh, you're too black for this, or you're too dark for that. And that's very prevalent in how, when you look at Puerto Rico, for example, as an island, really dark black people tend to sort of kind of gravitate and live in one part of the island, specifically...
Loíza,
because the rest of the island sort of kind of just, you know, ignores that there's a problem with racism, but sort of kind of says, okay, well, you can live there.
Right. So
I bring
it up because I'm just saying, like, I don't think that it's only our community that segregates itself. I think every community does.
Yeah. But what I wanted to point out is this, and I don't mean this as an insult to white cisgender males, but what I'm trying to point out is that those black and brown people or people of ethnic backgrounds, whether you're Jewish, whether you are, you know, from the Middle East, et cetera, tend to be more sympathetic to causes like people, for example, the non-binary folks in our community, the transgender folks in our community, they tend to be more sympathetic because they understand racism in a way that a white cisgender male would never understand. And so therefore, that sort of kind of whatever drives the idea that, you know, whatever problems are going on in this part of the community are not mine. And that bothers me, but you know, we have work to do. And slowly but surely, we're starting to see people get it, right? They're awakening to the idea that, my God, I didn't realize that my skin color allows me a certain privilege that other members in my community that are black and brown or of other ethnic groups that are not as prevalent, I get it, right? And so that's what we want to do. We want to have that hard conversation, mm-hmm. right? Because, again, as a whole entire group, we tend to be nurturers, right? And we're here for a purpose. But when we look at these subgroups within our community, we want to get to a point in where we, regardless of what color you are, we need to support each other. Because it is the only way that we're going to...
Regardless of what color or how you identify
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. We need to support each other. Mm-hmm. Because it is the only way that we're literally going to overcome a lot of these, for example, transgender, anti-transgender bills that are being introduced in many states. Over 30 states have introduced legislation regarding transgender people being able to either use a bathroom or freaking play sport. Yeah. And we talked about this last week.
Yeah. But before we move on to that, though, I want to toss it over to Jay because I want to hear what you have to say about that. Because, I mean, we're talking about something, you know, we're talking about, you know, all the discourse within the LGBTQ plus community, but that also stems out to, you know, the Hispanic community, to the African-American community, to every single community. Like, what are your feelings about that?
Well,
I took notes.
I think it's, you know, just like a lot of other issues that we tend to ignore until it comes to a head. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to sometimes think, it happens, but it doesn't happen often. Or I've never experienced it, or at least that's what you hear sometimes. I've never experienced that, so I really wouldn't, you know, don't have anything to say on that. I'm echoing a little, aren't I?
No, you're good. I'm just making sure that my sound is good.
I think I am. I don't know. It's probably just me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of mixed emotions there with that.
Yeah.
and we were talking about Hispanics and their, you know, being racial. And I recall, and I remember when my mom, till this day, God bless her, but I still got to correct her because, you know, my brother-in-law will be around, or my daughter's friend will be around, and they're very effeminate. And, you know, her thing is, ah, indito, enfermito. Sali enfermito. And I'm like, man, he's not ill. He's not ill. Right. He's gay. He's a gay man. And that's how he chooses to be. But that was the way she was raised.
Right.
So, and I think a lot of times she doesn't realize it. And I call her out on it. And she's 77. And she's like, oh, you know what I mean? And I was like, no, mom, it's offensive. I take offense to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remind her, you know.
I correct my mother all the time.
All the time. And it's just, it's their behaviors. It's what they learned. So a lot of the times, you know, battling those issues also comes within the home,
right?
And addressing it, that's, I never thought I would be addressing such issues with my mom. You know,
yeah.
I just never thought I would. But I constantly find myself telling her, "Mom, that's inappropriate. That's wrong." And right. you know, it's just generational, like mm-hmm. I should say, you know. The way they were raised and the way things were done back in the day, you right. didn't question
the language they used.
The language they used, you know, even though, you know, poor thing, he's ill. He's not ill. He's gay.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with him mentally. But.
Do you feel like you have to, when it comes to educating people or within the family, having those conversations, do you feel like you have to pick and choose your battles? Like, I know this is never going to get through to them, so I'm not even going to say anything about it.
I still try.
I still talk, regardless. A great friend of mine also happened to be one of my teachers during high school. And I had the privilege of working here with him in a high school. And he always used to tell me, I will always voice my opinion, even if it's not heard. And my favorite thing was every time we were in a meeting, he goes, I'm going to say this, even though you guys are going to ignore it, I'm still going to put it on the table.
Right.
And he would say what he had to say. And a lot of times he made a good point. He was addressing issues that they were, that's a little hairy to address right now. We need to address it. You know,
right.
So it's the same concept. You know, sometimes even if you feel like you're not really getting through to them, you are, because there's times where Mom will be like, oh, how's Junior doing? Is he okay? Oh, I'm glad. Oh, is he still single? Like, she'll ask questions like that. I'm like, okay, so she understands, mm-hmm, you right. know, she understands.
Oh, there's no question that they know what they're doing,
yeah,
right? But but they're using that generational language, yes. you know.
It's low key racial.
It's like for them, it's like a low key permission to be able to say shit like that. And like when we were doing bingo, so during COVID last summer into like the late fall, we were doing social distance bingo outside and we were playing. And I have one aunt who always, always uses language that's just very derogatory and offensive. And so she, one time she was sitting outside, she goes like, oh, ese patito, meaning that he's a
talking about me.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I assumed.
Don't assume. No. You make an ass out of you and me when you do that. But she references people who are gay in a very, very derogatory way. And I'm like, you do realize I'm your nephew, right?
And you're in my house. You do
realize that I'm sitting right here next to you. And you're in my house. And you're using language that quite honestly is offensive. The correct term is either use human or a homosexual. And if you can't say either, then don't open your mouth and say shit at all. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to her like that.
Yep.
But you have to, because you know the fact that you come from a different generation is no longer a good excuse for you to still mouth off shit that you shouldn't be saying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's just things that need to happen.
Can I just say that I think that Jay always has these like gems. So I'm going to start calling them Jay gems. And this is the one for this week.
Girl.
This week, what he said about the teacher, you may not hear me, but I'm going to put it on the table anyway.
Right.
That the people in the room are going to hear you whether they respond to it or not.
Right.
That is such a gem, because what you're saying is I'm putting it in the space. How you receive it is how you receive it. But eventually, if you keep putting these gems into a space,
right,
you're going to help change minds. And right. I just when you said that, I thought it was really powerful.
Thank you.
So I wanted to like reiterate.
Which is great. And so, those little gems are always amazing. So thank you, Jay.
Jay's gems, everybody.
You're welcome.
Although we started with gay animals and how important they are and how important we are as gay people to those that we call family, nonetheless, there's still a lot of work to be done in our community. And so what we're doing right now, having that discussion and talking about those difficult subjects and calling things out and bringing them to light, is what we need to continue to do every single day in our own personal lives, professionally, in any space that you can, to make sure that we bring change, mm-hmm. right? If you want change, you have to be that change. And there's no way around that. And so speak your truth, walk in your truth, and things eventually change. But it will not do so if we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. That was a great story, and I love it. Yeah. I love that it started off with something which is endearing and loving, but it also allows us space to talk about difficult things.
Yeah, no, I'm totally going to reach out to Out for Sustainability and try to get somebody on the show to talk about their organization. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. Yeah.
So thanks, Mama Kim.
Yes, thank you, girl. All right, so listen, we want to talk about something that happened. I believe it was posted March 12th. Today's the 15th. So 3 days ago, it was posted on theadvocate.com. The writer, Trudy Ring, writes that Amazon, company that we all know, a lot of people order, you know, you've got Amazon Prime and you get your 2-day shipping. Sometimes it comes on the same day. When I get those surprises, that's great. Love it.
It's never happened to me.
I do. It happens to me all the time. Like, especially when I order my dog treats, they come the same day. I was like, where are they coming from? Like, they're literally
from North Haven.
Somebody's buying it and bringing it. And I love it. But Amazon, the company that we know, has taking a stance when it comes to LGBTQ rights and, of course, our ability to be protected from people who think that who we are, what we are, is a mental condition, which, by the way, has not been the case since like the 1970s when it was outlawed. We're no longer considered, by being LGBTQ, mentally ill.
Yeah, so, just don't use me as a case study.
Darn. Yeah, I know. Fail. So anyway, Amazon won't sell books calling LGBTQ plus identity a mental illness. So they've taken a stance and they said they will not promote or sell books anymore that basically say that there's we in the community have mental issues. Amazon ceased selling books that frame LGBTQ plus identities as mental illness, according to a spokesperson for the company. The announcement came in response to an inquiry from one of the Republican U.S. senators about why, when Harry became Sally, responding to the transgender movement was no longer available on Amazon. So basically, this senator was questioning Amazon as to why this particular book was no longer available, and Amazon said, well, we've taken a stance. We're not going to deal with this anymore. And I'm just curious, who the fuck is the senator? Never mind. Ted? This makes total. So the inquiry directed at Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos came from Senator Mark Rubio, expected from Florida, Mike Lee of Utah, Josh Hawley, the insurrectionist from Missouri, and Mike Braun of Indiana. Amazon removed the book a few weeks ago, and refused to put it back on, and won't, and have affirmed that LGBTQ people are important.
That's amazing.
Great job, Amazon.
Yeah, so thank you. You know, I shop, and there's a lot of people that say, you know, this...
I would hate to have to cancel Amazon.
Right?
Like, literally. It would be terrible.
And Jeff Bezos is a mega billionaire, and a lot of people are always like, well, why should someone be allowed to be that rich? Well, they worked hard and done what they needed to do, and so, you know what? This is the American machine. The law says he can take this credit and that credit, and he can avoid paying taxes because of this. We've allowed it, right? And so you need to put people in office that will then remove those loopholes to not allow people like this to get richer. It's not his fault. He's playing by the law, right? But anyway, interestingly enough, it makes sense why this needed to happen, because those four senators, four assholes, if you know, ask me, are the reason why that, books like that still exist.
I miss that segment.
I know. Angels and Assholes. I loved it. To close this out, Brian Hausman, Amazon's vice president of public policy, responded Thursday, writing, as to your specific question about when Harry became Sally, we have chosen to not sell the books that frame LGBTQ identity as mental illness. He wrote that Amazon provides access to a variety of viewpoints, including books that some customers may find objectionable, adding, that said, we reserve the right to not sell certain content. All retailers make decisions about what selections they choose to offer, as do we. It isn't clear at this point what other books will be affected. In recent years, Amazon has discontinued some items LGBTQ plus consumers found objectionable, such as the straight pride badges. And I remember we covered that in one of our episodes a year and a half ago when straight Boston Pride was a thing. Fuck you guys. Anyway, so that's that. So claps for Amazon. Thank you. And Nick, you have one more story, and then we can just bring this thing home.
Oh, no, I don't anymore.
Oh, you don't?
I got rid of that story. But I would say that, like, when it comes to books, do you ever remember the library ban list from high school?
No, because...
I was pre-ban list.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never read heard of it.
So there are.
I take naps.
So there are certain books that have been banned in certain
school districts.
Yeah. Here I am, like, okay, if you don't want to teach it, fine.
Right.
But why ban a book? No matter what it is, right? I mean, like, there are books that are sold on Amazon that are terrible.
I mean, they still sell Trump flags, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong.
I'm
not gonna say, like, Amazon shouldn't sell them. I think that if you are interested in reading something, then you should be able to get it. Right. I think that I don't think that any literature should be banned unless it's specifically inciting violence.
Well, I mean, when you think about the premise of that particular book, it's associating LGBTQ folks with mental illness.
No, I'm not saying that what they did was right. I think what they did was right.
They can sell it under science fiction. No, let me stop.
No, I think what they did was right, but I don't. My question is, like, why does anybody feel the need to be like, why are you selling this? Like, why are you looking for it?
Right. I think in this case, the senators were questioning why it wasn't available on Amazon, which is what prompted that response from them, and saying, well, we're not going to carry it, and we're not going to carry any material that really equates LGBTQI folks with mental illness.
Right.
Probably the publisher's probably in one of their back pockets, and hey, I need you to question this.
Right. Right.
Meanwhile, they're selling like Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. Like,
there's just like what? I'm so Mein Kampf?
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm like, what?
That's some sort of new lube.
I mean, you know, I get what you're saying. In a sense, you are right. Why ban something that someone may want to read? But my thing is this. Like Amazon said, we're a retailer, mm-hmm. and we can make a decision and decide 100%. What we want to and don't want to carry.
Right. So if you want to find the book, go somewhere else.
Right. And well, I think the reason why they chose to have this fight with Amazon is because, again, Jeff Bezos and the fact that Amazon is a very highly recognizable company, mm-hmm. and that having that useless argument with Amazon would have much more impact news-wise than it would yeah. if they were to just go to mom and pop and say, why don't you carry this fucking book?
Yeah, I want to be clear in saying that I don't think that any of those books should be sold by this company.
Right.
What I was trying to convey was I think that people that literally, like people that are looking for literature like that and they're reaching out and causing waves, like I don't get it. Like if you really want that book, just go somewhere else. You don't need to make a public stink about it because you look like an asshole.
Right.
And the fact that you're looking for a book like that says volumes about who you are as a person.
For the normal American who wanted to look for something like this, they would never disclose that they were looking for something like this, but would want to buy it and probably say, okay, I got the book. But those four fuckers are not normal Americans. Those are four senators that we clearly know where they stand on the LGBTQ spectrum. And they decided,
they all have Grindr. We know.
Right. I can go to this little mom and pop store, find my fucking book, and my life is made. But no, I'm going to go to Amazon and start questioning why they don't have it, because I get more bang for my buck. I get more TV appearances, more TV exposure. It's all about an angle for them, right? Because they need to stay in power.
Look at us fight for your rights,
right,
as Americans.
And so fuck you to all four of those. You know, they're just, I don't know. People just piss me off sometimes. Well, actually, people piss me off all the time.
Yes, we know.
All right, well, listen, I think we're going to move on. Bring the show home. It's time to sort of kind of go on the all the way home. So I'm going to toss it over to my great friend Trish over here, who's going to tell us a little bit about Mama Kim's Minute for this month.
Oh, we're going to close it out. We're going there. Okay.
Well, do you have anything else you would like to discuss?
Me? No. Jay, do you have anything?
Jay?
No.
No?
Not right now.
You just want to enjoy your White Claw?
Enjoy my White Claw.
Better work.
All right, everybody. So here's Mama Kim's Minute. Thank you. All right, everybody. So here's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, more anti-trans bills have been introduced in 2021 than any year in history. And no, that has nothing to do with our current administration. Number two, Christian Trump supporters yell vulgar slurs at trans kids attending Florida school board meeting. Number three, the Biden and Harris administration delivers 24 pro-LGBTQ plus actions in first 50 days.
They've done a lot. Mm-hmm. In 50 days. So stimulus package, massive, $1.9 trillion. Trillion? Yeah, trillion. Stimulus package, which is going to help so many Americans.
I'm so nervous about all the money the government is spending, though.
That's all right. If we fall, you know, we get back up. And then, you know, when you think about on day one, signing and affirming trans rights for all trans men and women. Serving in our military, of course, and then to think of all the other things that are just slowly happening. His cabinet, how reflective his cabinet is of true America.
Joining the climate accords, Pete Buttigieg,
right?
Like, and, you know, yeah,
it's incredible. So a lot of great work has been done, and it's only been 50 days. Not to mention the fact that we have secured enough vaccines to have everyone vaccinated by March 31st, every adult. And by the way, if you're listening in the state of Connecticut, as of April 5th, I believe.
5th, 16 and up.
Any individual age 16 and up is now qualified to receive the vaccine, so you can start making your appointments on that day. Make sure that you get vaccinated. Don't believe all the craziness that's going out there regarding the vaccine. It is a safe thing to do. The sooner you do so, the sooner we can get back to doing the things that we love, which is hugging our co-host and mothers and fathers and your family and being able to gather. So do your part.
Yep, I'm one shot in, and look at me.
That's
all jacked up. No, let me stop.
Well, that was prior to the shot throw. I'm just saying. So.
I actually didn't know about this, but GLAAD launched a Biden Equality Accountability Tracker.
Right.
On March 11th, the 50th day of the Biden-Harris administration, that determined that 24 actions were taken from the White House that affect LGBTQ people and rights. In the statement, GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis said GLAAD's Biden Equality Accountability Tracker, those are some... Okay. Yes. Is an ongoing resource tool to track how well the Biden administration is keeping its word to the making progress for the LGBTQ plus community. I did not know about this tracker.
Well, now we're just going to have to sort of kind of monitor it.
I'm going to download that app.
Hello. No, and that's great. And that's great. And I think, now the most important part is, we passed the Equality Act in the House, and that bill is still pending in the Senate. And we know that it needs 60 votes, unless they change the rules for this one specific bill, like they did when they were trying to, get some of these justices, into,
you know what, we didn't actually cover that we have a justice that just announced their retirement.
Which one? Breyer?
I don't remember. I saw it and I read the article. I skimmed the article.
Right. Well, the good thing is that, Biden's got 4 years and there's no way with a majority in the Senate that they would ever be able to block.
Justice Andrew Gould.
But he's not in the Supreme Court.
Oh, he's the Arizona Supreme Court announced his retirement.
Which is okay, right? Because if he retires, depending on who's in power in
Arizona,
it would
be one of the first ones that he appoints.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and the fact that they have majority, and now it's a simple majority to appoint justices, right? You just need 51 votes. It is almost but guaranteed that any nominee that's put before the Senate will be confirmed, regardless of what court and in what tier you land.
So. You'd get confirmed. I'd get confirmed.
I know. It's a question about Chris. We don't know about Chris. Yeah. Which, by the way, Chris is not with us today. He did say that he would be gone for at least 2 episodes every month because of school. We expect that he will be with us next week. NJ, regardless if he's here or not, we have another mic back
here. You're always welcome.
That's right. You can just show up and sit down.
I feel
down
like you found your rhythm on Gay Talk.
Yeah, today.
Took me a little bit. Yeah. Took me a little bit, but... Yeah.
He's like microphone awkward sometimes, but today you're on point. I love it.
Thank you.
All right.
You're not the intern.
I'm a fucking cut her. anyway, all right. So, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by us, or should we say,
Gay Talk 2.0.
Yas, queen. Okay, so when March 15th, what year? 559. That's a long time ago. Where in Turkey, men corruptors, in quotations, blamed for earthquake and plague in Constantinople. I said it. Yas,
queen.
Proud of you. All right. So the emperor of the Byzantine Empire. Byzantine Empire. Yes. Fucking bitch. Justinian I writes Novella 141 on this day, claiming that homosexual acts are the blame for natural disasters, as he had warned the year before. To think that this was something that happened in the year 559. I mean, 559 years after the death of Christ. Is that how time is measured before and after?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The death? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
When are they going to cancel that?
What?
The BC?
BC, yeah.
I think they've already started AC? Doing that in a lot of collegiate colleges.
Yeah.
So instead of before Christ or after Christ, they call it... I can't remember what it was, but it's different for colleges now. And so you have to remember when you're citing something, you can't use BC or
Common Era.
Common Era. Thank you. Common Era.
CE.
Right. So it changed a little bit. And I think that happened like 10 years ago, but you know, I was in school at some point in time.
Hey, I'm down for that.
So, but yeah, Common Era. And then what was the other one?
BC and ACE.
ACE. After Common Era, before Common Era, BCE, ACE?
Sorry, it's BC and AD, now BCE and CE.
Right, there you go. Common Era before Common Era, which I think is great, right? Because not everything needs to be religious. I love it. All right, so that's that. So ladies and gents, I want to thank you all for joining us on today's episode. If you love the show, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listener, to support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Next week, and you can quote me, we will be welcoming someone. We just don't know who yet. And thank you to our guest host, Jay Bear. You're always thank amazing. You. By the way, I added you to the bottom of the notes. So you have something to say in a little bit.
Oh, Tom? The bottom.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right. So, and we're expecting Chris next week, so we'll see. And now, here is Nick with his weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep your buttholes on point. Yes, we're talking about the Future Method.
Thank you, Tom. Get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person.
Yas, queen. Jay? Are we going to put a rubber on it?
Yes, we are closing. Oh, yeah. Let's put a rubber on it.
All right.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk2.0.com, under the audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
It's gaytalk20.com. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, gaytalk2.0, Instagram, gaytalk2.0, Twitter at gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com. Tom, you're the intern.
Don't fuck it up. All right. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab, which is located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us while we're live on air, by the way. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that if you are going to call, make sure you're doing it while we're live on the air, which is 6 p.m. on Monday, every Monday. If you call after that, you're just going to get voicemail. So just letting you know. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.